or teach children how to read a credit card statement, how to understand your payslip, understand all those things. So as I said, I think there's the education from school, there's the education from our parents, and then there's our own experience. The issue with our own experience is that it's not until later on in life that we get to have that life experience.
Welcome to More Than Money with your host, Ross Murray. This episode of More Than Money is brought to you by More Time Financial, a financial planning company who are on a mission to help young Australians make smarter decisions with money by providing real-life financial advice, coaching, and financial education.
This is Darren Nathan. Welcome to another episode of the More Than Money podcast.
Thank you. Good to be here again, and as recently promoted to co-host.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Well done again. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
How's the week been?
Very good. Very good. It's been busy. Got a big weekend coming up with Eternal MMA on the Gold Coast. A bit of preparation there. But other than that, yeah, pretty cruising.
Glad to hear it.
Thank you.
What we're talking about today is the importance of financial education. So what I wanted to cover off on was a few things of what we see as the current state of financial education in Australia, what your experience has been, what my experience has been at school, family, church for you, what do you actually get taught about. The importance we'll touch on, which I think is me from a biased perspective, that it is so important, and I think that's a non-negotiable. And then where the issue is, or what we can potentially see is some solutions to the problem.
Absolutely.
How's that sound?
Sounds awesome.
Excellent. This is always a big debate. Yeah. Time again, I would say 90% of the meetings I have with people, we sit down. Part of my job is that education piece, because it is such a big part of my job. It's so much easier to tell people what to do or help them when they understand what we're doing.
Correct.
So me sit here and say, I tell you to do this, which is fine. That's part of the job. But if you don't understand what I'm telling you, then there's this disconnect, because you think we're doing one thing, I'm thinking we're doing something else. And it's really important that you understand, or as much as possible. That's my view, is that if you can understand to a point, you don't need to know everything about my job or exactly what we're doing. But if you know enough, you're going to be able to make an informed decision, which makes my job a lot easier.
Yeah.
And more education, the better, is my view. So time and time again, I have meetings with people like, geez, I wish that I was taught this in high school. Geez, I wish I was taught this when I was younger. And then at least the question of why wasn't I taught this? Why didn't my teachers tell me this? I was taught algebra. When last did you use buddy algebra?
Never.
But I'm in credit card debt. I've got this car loan. I don't understand interest. What's this principal and interest? All these adulting things that happen from the day you start earning your first paycheck that we never get taught. We get taught basic mathematics, how to read properly, which is obviously important.
Mm.
Shakespeare, which, sure, that's nice to know, but where's the relevance in that in life? So this is a topic that I'm extremely passionate about that I think is this huge issue. I understand that it's not an easy solution to say, let's just educate people more. We can get to that later in terms of when it's appropriate to get educated, at what point, what should be the main topics, how do you create the curriculum for financial education, especially in schools, but later on in life as well.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to know, what has your financial education been?
Growing up throughout my life?
Growing up, yeah.
I've been pretty privileged. My mum and dad, a lot of their financial education came through their own experience. So they moved over to Australia from New Zealand, I think, in the mid to late 80s, early 90s. And they came over here and they were both working. And if it's one thing that I can say from what they've taught me, is they've taught me how to get money. What I've had to figure out is how to use it. And if you've seen the way that I use money, I spend most of it, save a little bit, right, on things that are necessary and on things that are also not so necessary. But my financial education, food is a massive one. Too much food. My financial education comes from mainly my dad, because he's the one I probably had the most conversation with about it. But when they came over, they were your standard blue collar working class parents, and they bought a few properties, bought land, sold some properties, got involved in the stock market. And pretty much through their experience is what I've learned. And if I can sum up in a nutshell of what I've learned, is that if you work hard, you earn money. If you save your money, if you save enough, you're able to buy a deposit for a house. And if you buy a house, you can live in it. If you pay the house off while you're 50, you can either sell it, borrow against it to buy another house. That is probably the pattern of financial education that I have. Mainly in my life, what I focused on is the work side of it, right? I don't have any homes that I own. I would love to. However, in this current climate, it's ridiculous on the Gold Coast. But my financial education is probably limited to earning, saving, and then one day hoping to invest. And that's been taught to me by my parents.
Was it a open conversation about money in your household?
Yes. Oh, man. Yeah. Open conversation. It was one of the most common conversations we had.
Positive or?
Positive. Always positive.
That's fantastic.
Me and Isaac and Ashley probably took it as a negative because it just we'd have it all the time. Hey, guys, are you saving your money? Mum was always about saving. Dad was always about working. It was like, hey, mate, working today? Don't get caught sitting on the couch. Nope. I'm going to boxing. I'm going to the movies. Mum's was always about, are we saving our money? How much have you got in your savings account? Not that much today, but they're old school, and rightly so. And I love the old school mentality because of the principles that it taught me about money. You work hard, you save, you can buy shit, okay, or you can invest. That's pretty much what it was, but the conversation was always positive. My only question is today, is that mindset relevant to the current financial climate we're in today? And this is where my financial education is so limited because I think our generation and a bit younger, we're bombarded with you can earn money here, you can earn money here, you don't have to work a 9-to-5, you can work for yourself. But all I've ever known by my own experience is work, save, invest.
Yeah, so we typically see it from a psychological point of view of you either attract or detract to those closest around you.
Yeah,
most of us, it's our parents. Mm-hmm. So we either see what they've done and go, there's no way I want to be like them. Yeah. I want to get as far away as possible and detract as far away as possible from them. Or you see what they've done and be like, I'm going to do exactly what they've done.
Yeah.
So either consciously or unconsciously, people do that. And we see it all the time. It's like, well, parents did that. The kids follow in that footsteps. I guess I'm a little part of that in terms of being financial planning. My dad is a financial planner, so I can attest to that a little bit. But we either detract or attract to what they're doing. And I typically see that the education side, it's either schooling, parents, your own experience. Mm. I think we can all agree that the schooling system on financial literacy, personal financial literacy, is a failure. It's almost non-existent.
So that's common knowledge now because 10, 15 years ago, you couldn't say that, Roscoe. You couldn't come out on a podcast or on Channel 7 or Channel 9. You couldn't come out and say, I think the school education system, when it comes to financial literacy, is failing us. You get cancelled.
I can't say what it is today. I have limited knowledge of what the education system is, the school curriculum. I have enough friends and family that are teachers and working in the system to take an educated guess to say that it's either the same or pretty similar to what it was.
Because it's true.
When we went through school.
Because it's true.
I can confidently say that because one, I went through the school system. Mm. And then two, working with the clients that I do now in a similar age bracket from 25 to say 40, the comprehension is not where it needs to be. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that it's terrible and not every single client I work with has no comprehension at all. But as I said, 90% of the time I'm sitting across from clients and their look on their face say, why wasn't I taught this earlier?
Totally.
If I knew this earlier in my life, I would be so much better off.
Yep.
So that's the reason I can confidently say that either it did or it is failing the Australian population. That, like I said, the algebra, like, yes, I understand that's helpful when you need to build bridges, I think, but for God's sake, teach us or teach children how to read a credit card statement, how to understand your pay slip, understand all those things.
Totally.
So as I said, I think there's the education from school, there's the education from our parents, and then there's our own experience. The issue with our own experience is that it's not until later on in life that we get to have that life experience. So it's not until later in life that we have that education. Those that are fortunate enough to have a parents in their life and then ones that are educated. So this is the domino effect that we see.
Yeah.
We have lots of issues, and you can obviously tell from how passionate I get.
No, I love it.
We could talk about it for hours.
Let's do it.
There's so many parts to it. There's the taboo. So money has historically been and is still, I think it's becoming better, but it's still this taboo topic that it's rude to ask someone how much they earn. And I always interested, I was going to ask, did you know how much money your parents earned when you were growing up?
No, not growing up. Yeah. No, I think only recently I can have a rough estimate of how much they earn.
Yeah.
Based on my own experience of how much I earn and understanding different industries, but no, they never.
So it's that if we're fortunate enough to have parents in our lives, are you having open conversations about money at the dinner table? Do you understand how much they earn? And this is as the domino effect of our parents weren't taught about money.
No.
So they've only learned from their life experience.
Yeah.
So whether that was positive or negative has a big impact on if they're out of those three systems, our education system is we've got schooling, parents, and our own experience, maybe we haven't got there yet. So then schools failed us, so we're relying on our parents. And the domino is we learn from them. They learn from their parents who weren't taught about it, weren't allowed to talk about it. So then we've got lack of education, and you can just see how the cycle continues.
Dominoes.
And as I said, life experience comes into it. So then it's not until we're 30, 40 odd that we've gone through that experience. Like, oh, actually, I should maybe do something different, or I've made mistakes, or I've done something good. So it's a slippery slope.
It is.
It's a very slippery scope.
It is. And I think going back, my grandparents, I mean, my grandfather, both of them were born around the 1940s. I couldn't imagine them sitting around the dinner table and not necessarily exposing how much they earn, but my grandfather who lives here, I couldn't imagine him sitting around with his seven kids saying, all right, guys, let's talk about money.
Yeah.
His focus was on just trying to get it because the times back then, they're obviously a lot tougher than what they were today. So I think you bring up a good point in breaking the cycle, actually having the conversation and then, okay, where can we get this added information?
Correct. So we have our school, obviously primary and high school. Then you go to university. And this is always the funny one that I find.
Yeah.
So people have this assumption that because someone earns lots of money, that they must be educated about money. I've had this time again, people are like, oh, he's really good with his money. He earns lots. He's a doctor. Mm. Okay, great. Answer me this. Where do you think in their 7 years of medical school, they have a subject called financial literacy for doctors? They're too busy. And this is not in regards to overall education. This is purely financial education. Doctors, obviously, a million times smarter than me for most people.
Yeah.
They're super intelligent. But just because they earn lots of money doesn't mean that they're educated about money. Instead, in those 7 years, they're too focused on saving people's lives. They're not. No one's sitting down saying, hey, by the way, you're likely to earn more money than the average person. Your salary is going to probably be $250,000 to $300,000 specialist, all that kind of stuff is another topic. But they don't learn about this. Then they get put in a different position where they do earn more money. Mm. And from my side, earning more money has no correlation to how good you are with your money.
Totally.
Because more of the times than not, the more money you have, the more money you potentially have to spend, which is then obviously causes some concern. So your experience, you went to university, I'm going to make the assumption there's no financial education, financial literacy courses.
There were no financial literacy courses that I took. Now, I will say this, there was a minor subject that you could have taken called finance, right? And I'm sure if I went there, I may have gained some sort of financial education. To what I can remember, the only time I was ever taught about financial literacy was in accounting for decision making in the first year. And it wasn't about making money. It was about tax and how much money you need to give to the government, which is good to know.
Which is relevant, but
which is relevant to know. But as far as investing, as far as I'm sure there are courses at university that teach this. But like you said, take, for example, a doctor or a lawyer. You're so focused on what you need to be doing, whether it's, I did a business degree in sports management, right? So I'm not thinking about money.
Yeah.
I just want to know how to manage athletes, how to contract, how to negotiate contracts, how to market a sports team, so on and so forth. The money will come. I'll take care of that when it comes. And I think that's probably more to your point is, even if there are courses that are offered, the attitude towards them isn't what it is towards the things that we want to learn. I think I even took an arts class when I was in uni. And it was really fun. But if I had the choice of going back in time and taking a financial literacy course, which would have helped me identify certain investments or learned about super or things like you're teaching people today, 100% I would have taken that over an arts class. Yeah, I think from my own experience is that there are courses, but our attitude towards them, unless you're looking at going down the path that you went down, you're not even going to touch them.
Yeah, so from my side, I'd say high school, thinking parent side, they forced me into doing, I would label as the more of the boring subjects.
Yeah.
So doing a few of those accounting subjects and things at school. But again, when you could choose which courses you did at school, the amount of people in those types of courses were next to none because it was the boring topics, the boring subjects that no one really wanted to do. So I did have a little bit of a hybrid that I was lucky enough to have parents. So again, my dad is a financial planner for 30 odd years, which I've then obviously followed in a similar career path to him. We started the business together a couple of years ago. So I was fortunate enough to have him in my life to educate me about money, but still we overlay that with that taboo issue that even though that he works as a financial planner and we did talk about money, there was still that little bit of taboo of I'm the parent, it's my responsibility to look after money, you don't necessarily need to know about
totally.
It. So I do think that I was fortunate to get that level of education, which I think was probably better than most. And then high school somewhat, because I did somewhat of those boring finance subjects, accounting subjects, but again, more focused on the business side, not necessarily on the personal finance side.
Yeah.
It wasn't until university that I did a Bachelor of Commerce, majored in financial planning, that I spent, I have a four-year degree, let's say 3 years, doing majority personal finance subjects, where we learned the ins and outs of how to be, obviously be a financial planner, which then part of that was that personal education. And I just wish that I do understand that not everyone can go through and do that level of education,
yeah,
which is obviously why I sit in the role that I do and have the business that I do, because I'm somewhat more experienced or qualified than most.
Yeah.
However, there, I think having some element of personal finance in every aspect of every degree, every job would be unbelievably beneficial, because it affects every single part of our life. It is hard to pinpoint one part of our life that isn't impacted by money directly or indirectly.
Especially now.
Determines where we live, where we holiday, what we eat, having children, not having children, taking time off work, buying houses, as you said, where you rent. Every aspect, with, I could probably name a handful of things that aren't directly or indirectly related to money, but it affects so much of our life, but yet we know so little about it.
Yeah, that's scary.
Not even I had that view. From my perspective, where I see and work with clients every single day, every single week, we're having these conversations, we're trying to educate them as much as possible. And it just blows my mind that the level of education, as I said, not everyone, a lot of people are educated on the topic, but the vast majority are not educated. Oh, I don't believe educated enough, which is scary. That leads on to, what do we do about it? And this is the challenge that I've always had, because we, again, go to that conversation, why wasn't I educated about this at school? And I think we could spend an entire episode talking about the why I believe we aren't educated in school. And there's, as I said, there's two sides of it. Briefly, I think there, you put on the conspiracy hat and I think there's that element of, the less educated people are, the less people know, we can keep them under wraps, but under a certain element of, okay, if they don't know as much, then they're not going to know the loopholes around taxes,
correct,
all that kind of stuff. Then putting my selfish business hat on, I have a business that is reliant on people not knowing enough, so they come to seek expert advice from me.
Yep.
And then, so there's that part of it, but I don't like that view, because I think the more educated people are, the better. It's better for me, it's better for everyone, that it's better for society. So I guess we, as I said, go on a whole tangent on why that's not in the school system.
Yeah.
The challenge is, as I said, going back to that point of, why wasn't I taught about this in school? The thing that I'm still not 100% sure on yet, even from my perspective, is at what point should we be educated about money? So my view is that I think that from as young as possible, we should be educated on the financial, personal finance concepts. But at what point, and I'm curious to know your views on this, at what point do you think formal financial education would be the most useful? And from my perspective, I think the month or week, I don't know, week long enough, so let's say a month before you start working in your first career/serious job post-school, post-university. Yes, you're going to have part-time jobs, which I think would be beneficial.
Yeah.
But if I could get to someone the month before they start their first career job, they've just finished university or just finished school, go back to become, work into a trade or whatever. If I could get to them the month before that and say, hey, you're going to get your first paycheck, it's going to be more than you've ever been paid before, which was my case when I started my first job.
Yeah.
From day one, this is exactly what I want you to do with your money from the first paycheck.
Yeah.
For these reasons, for put this away, save this, do whatever.
Yeah.
That's where I think it would be the most beneficial.
Yeah.
As I said, I think that a general education in school, concepts, all that kind of stuff would be fantastic. But some sort of formal training of, you're about to, you just finished 7 years of medical school, you're going into a doctor's role, you're about to get paid $90,000 or $70,000 as a starting doctor. This is what you should do with your first, or this is what you could do with your first paycheck.
Yeah.
I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
No, I totally agree with that notion. And I think that for me personally, the jobs that I've had, whether it's as a security guard or working as a table games, even in commentary, director of sales and marketing at SeaWorld Cruises, I've never seen any one of those jobs as, this is what I'm going to do to make the majority of my money. Like we spoke about in our last episode, it's just there to get me week to week. But if I did, let's say tomorrow I got a $100,000 contract to commentate for the UFC or to have my own radio show. The first thing I'll be doing is coming to you and saying, hey, listen, I'm about to be paid six figures. I don't want to blow this like I've just done with the rest of my paychecks over the past 10 years. Yeah. I need to know now what I need to do with my money. Now, I'm assuming that's what most people do. But is that what most people do? Or do they just get towards, wait, where's all my money gone? Now I need to go get this education. See, that would be my view. If I didn't have the education, I'd obviously offset the cost to someone like you as to, okay, tell me what to do. Yeah. But if and when the opportunity does come, I'm hoping that I start now. So when it does come, I already have the knowledge there. And I would still come to see you to make, obviously, financial decisions, but at least I've got the knowledge as well. So I tend to agree that when you first start, you describe it as your career path. I'll probably say once you start earning, I would say career earning money, yeah, to me is six figures. Okay, I'm roughly on, I'm happy to disclose it, roughly on anywhere between $70,000 to $80,000 a year. But I don't live like that. Yeah. Why? Because maybe it's a lack of education, or I know it and I'm ignoring it. But I would definitely say that if tomorrow came and said, babe, here's six figures for the next 10 years, you've got to figure this out. The first thing I'd be doing is coming to you and saying, let's get a plan together.
I think you raise a good point, which I feel like a lot of people fall into the trap of, that, oh, I don't earn enough to say or invest or do something else, then live week to week, which I can completely understand that living week to week is challenging and a lot of people do it. But far too often I see that view of, especially people come to me like, oh, I don't earn enough to go and see a financial planner.
Yeah.
Which I agree, there is the costs and stuff, which are unfortunately are a lot higher than I believe it should be to seek professional advice. But there is this thing of, I don't earn enough, so what's the point? Yeah. I'm just getting by. How can I do anything different? And we spoke about obviously compounding and what that looks like in previous episodes around superannuation.
Correct.
And growing your wealth. So I think the sooner the better.
Yeah.
And that goes back to that point of, at what point do you become educated? So I think as young as possible, education is never going to be a bad thing. But everyone's like, I should be educated about school. Yes, but unfortunately it's not relevant at school because you're
not earning any money.
So to say, okay, this is what you should do with your money, or this is what you could do, that's great. I understand in theory that makes sense, but it's not until you get your first paycheck that you have the freedom to make those decisions. So that's why I think, as I said, I understand this is not a quick fix. This is how you fix the education system in Australia. There's so many other layers to it, and there's so many different parties involved in that as well. But yeah, I think whether it's, I know when we went through school, we had that last week, which I thought was interesting, that last week of school, I think it was in grade 12 or maybe or something, more so like life skills, I think they called it.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
It was 1 week or 2 weeks of like, you're about to leave, here's life skills.
In 1 week?
Yeah. Yeah, which I think is strange. It's like, thanks, you just taught me algebra for the past 5 years, but in the last week, you're like, oh, here's the skills you actually need for life.
Yeah.
And this is not any knock on any particular one school. I think the whole system is flawed in that regard. But yeah, I think at some point, there needs to be that some sort of, I don't know if it can be formal training, informal training, or just something to say, okay, you're about to earn more money than you ever earned before. This is what you could do. This is what you should do before you get that money. Totally. Far too often it's, you leave school, you leave university, like, thanks for coming. You just paid us this amount of money. You're about to start working your first job, first paycheck. You're an adult now. Go nuts.
Yeah.
Bank calls you a couple of weeks later. Hey, thanks for banking with us for the last couple of years in Dolomites or wherever. Would you like a credit card? You've just got your first job. You've just earned more money than you're ever going to earn. How about a credit card? My friend said, I need to get a car. Get a car. How are you going to pay for it? I'll get a car loan.
Totally.
Fantastic. Okay, great. And it's just, you can see how it accumulates. And the snowball effect goes on and on. Because then I was earning $60,000 in my first job, which is 10 times or 20 times more than I was earning at my casual job through university. But 60 grand, it's like, now I'm just getting by because my lifestyle costs have gone up. And you get your next job, 70K, you get a pay rise. Okay, my lifestyle costs have gone up because I've moved out of home. I'm now spending $200 a week in grocery instead of 100.
Yeah.
So I still don't have enough money to save. Why would I go and do it any different? 80K, kids come on, mortgage comes in, all those other things happen.
You would be surprised how quickly it compounds.
We can just see how it's like my wage increase, fantastic, but my living expenses, we call it the lifestyle creep.
Yeah.
Because your lifestyle
creep. Lifestyle creep.
Goes up as well because, I could only afford. And that's the thing I always talk about is, okay, people are like, groceries are so expensive.
Yeah.
I agree. Right now. Horrendous.
Horrendous.
However, you're like, how did you get by when you're at university? I know this is a super simplistic way to think about it. Kids and all that kind of stuff aren't as applicable. It's like, you got by somehow at university when you were earning like 30K a year working a casual job. And now you're earning 100, but financially nothing's changed because your lifestyle costs have magically increased to match exactly what you're earning. And therefore, I've got no money left over.
Roscoe, we want to live above the latte line. Come on.
Above the latte
line. Above the latte line. Come on.
I like that.
It's all for public perception. I don't have the money for a coffee, but I want a coffee. I want it. No, you bring up a good point. And I think what kind of shocked me to the core there was those same habits that we have in our early 20s. If we don't get educated, you'll have them in your early 30s. And if you don't educate, get educated then, you'll have them in your 40s and so on and so forth. And that's probably one of the things that I've been so privileged to see you regularly is because I see where I've gone wrong. Anytime I buy Hungry Jack's or buy Korean fried chicken or, yeah, I know I'm doing the wrong thing. And it's not necessarily the wrong thing, but I know based off the education that I've got from yourself and other learning, I know. And it might not seem like it's a mistake right now because I want what I want and I want it now. But with a bit of education and a bit of sacrifice, I think what you said, and changing, like you said, we're not going to fix this overnight.
Yeah.
But maybe fix one thing. And then in a month's time, fix another thing. And then say in a year's time, you may have changed 4 or 5 major habits that now contribute to what, I don't know, what you classify as financial success.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm excited about, because I think in your 20s, you can afford to make mistakes and go through uni and things like that. But once shit gets real and once life starts, whether you get married or you have a child or you buy your first house, those big checklist events that we're all bound to, especially going to private school and the expectation. Yeah, you can't afford to be making young adult mistakes as an adult.
Yeah.
And I think I've learned that the hard way. Thus, no houses or assets.
Lots of life experience.
Lots of life experience.
So I think wrapping that up for today's episode, I'm sure we can circle back to this. It's something that I'm extremely passionate about.
Yep, I love it.
Hence the work I do, hence the podcast. Yeah, I believe more education, the better.
Yeah,
the more educated people can get, the better. There's obviously bias to say, listen to this podcast. I know there's tons of other information, podcasts, YouTube resources out there that I wish more and more people would get educated on.
Yeah.
The more you can be educated, the better. I understand time is limited for most people, so I'm not expecting you to become a financial planner and know absolutely everything, but knowing enough. And I think the key thing is it's never too early to start.
Totally.
Even $10, $20, $30 a week, a month, whatever it can be, can make a huge difference. So understanding that and realizing there's no, I don't believe, and this is something I've made to clients, there's not one thing as a mistake.
Well, good.
It's only if you make it twice.
That's right.
So if you make it once, it's not a mistake. You're just uneducated.
Yeah.
If you're fully educated and you make the same mistake, then that's on you.
That's on you.
But if you're not educated, it's not your fault. It's your responsibility to become educated, because as we've just spoken about today, the schools aren't doing the job. Your parents, maybe to their credit, they're trying their best.
Mm.
But if they weren't educated, then their limited knowledge is going to be that limited knowledge. So then we've got life experience, which unfortunately only comes through life experience, which I believe is too late at some point. So the more education you can have, the more education you can get now, the better.
I totally agree. And thank you for the education that I've received today. And I'm sure our viewers will appreciate the same. So
excellent.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sarah. See you next week.
Wonderful.